91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Fear. Being afraid is something you might think of as a weakness. You might think of your heart racing, your palms getting sweaty, the urgent desire to run and hide. But on his latest album, Horror, Archie Strange doesn't run. He faces his fear and even embraces it.
There's times when I'm able to channel all that into something. And it's like all that fear, I can use it to make myself bigger.
Coming up, you'll hear Archie Strange perform live and talk about making horror and all of the different ways fear has shaped his life, from watching scary movies as a kid to helping him decide where to live, which he sings about on the song Baltimore.
I always am thinking about where's like a just a safe, affordable place. Like you can be just a black person, you know, diverse, affordable art community. You know, it's like the more things you ask for, the fewer and fewer and fewer the options there are.
It's Archie Strange coming up in an encore edition of World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. Governor Tim Walz announced Wednesday that his administration will pause payments for more than a dozen Medicaid services pending a third-party audit. The Department of Human Services flagged 14 Medicaid services as high risk based on what it calls program vulnerabilities and evidence of fraudulent activity. The funding pause could last up to 90 days for programs like integrated community supports, non-emergency medical transportation, adult day services, and many other programs serving people with disabilities. The audit will be performed by Optum, a division of Minnesota-based United Health Group. Earlier this year, national media outlets reported the healthcare giant was also under investigation for fraud by the Department of Justice. Walz, who recently announced his intention to seek a third term in office, stated that programs and services can't be effectively delivered without the backing of public trust. The now-defunct Housing Stabilization Services is among the 14 programs affected by the pause. The state moved to shut down the program in August due to fraud, with 8 people currently charged in federal court. The payment pause comes amid a fraud frenzy in Minnesota that so far appears to have cheated the state out of hundreds of millions of dollars. Minnesota's largest nurses union is calling out Essentia Health for what it describes as unsafe staffing levels following 4 recent assaults on staff in Duluth and Brainerd. The Minnesota Nurses Association says the incidents over a 2-week time span reflect a, quote, dangerous pattern in Essentia facilities, one that nurses have been warning about for years. The union is calling for strengthened staffing ratios and including frontline nurses in hospital safety decisions. In a statement to the Minnesota Star Tribune, Essentia Health says the union is, quote, exploiting a serious challenge to score points in the press instead of working toward meaningful solutions, and that, quote, no amount of staffing can prevent violence against healthcare workers. MNA says security systems and emergency tools play an essential role in hospital safety, but can't replace the need for adequate nursing staff to prevent crises before they occur. The Star Tribune reports that between 2021 and 2022, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports there were 550 assaults in Minnesota hospitals that resulted in workers missing days or having restricted duty transfers because of their injuries. Pretty soon, Minnesota's farm fields will be in a deep freeze, but some seeds will still be doing their work. Farmers trying out a winter-hardy crop are at the forefront of a production process to create cleaner fuel for commercial jets. This fall, the University of Minnesota's Forever Green Initiative is in the early stages of a study to determine the next steps for sustainable aviation fuel. A key ingredient is winter camelina, a cover crop that not only protects the soil from erosion, but also has the potential for commercial use. Forever Green's co-director Mitch Hunter says right now they're green rows of little plants that will fully blossom in the spring.
And then after the plant flowers, those flowers will turn into fruit packed with seeds. And inside each one of those seeds, you have 35% or so oil.
Minnesota researchers and their partners are leading a charge to convert that seed oil into low-carbon jet fuel that airlines can use to reduce their emissions. Last fall, a test flight using SAF flew out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Hunter says the latest research aims to lay out a blueprint detailing what's needed to scale up production. Challenges include perfecting crop varieties and finding enough processing capacity. In northern Minnesota, fourth-generation farmer Eric Kakowski just planted his share of winter camelina across roughly 640 acres. It's his third season of trying this crop out. Like researchers, there's a learning curve for him, including the best time in the fall for putting the seeds in the ground. But he says it's an easy crop to manage.
I don't have to babysit it. I can take care of my other crops and make sure they're producing like they're supposed to.
Groups like Friends of the Mississippi River back the movement because of the chance to improve water quality with healthier farmland. Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for the story. ESCO finished fourth place in the girls' soccer state tournament. They tied with St. Cloud Cathedral with 0 points in the third place match Thursday afternoon. ESCO played top-seeded Providence Academy and lost 1-3 in the semifinals Wednesday. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
Welcome one, welcome all to this encore edition of World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. A little while back, Raina Duras had a chance to sit down with Bart T. Strange to talk about his album Horror. Seemed appropriate for the season. Let's take a listen.
What is your biggest fear? What's that thing that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up and makes your skin crawl, makes you feel that pit in your stomach? Fear can be unpleasant, but it's also a survival instinct. And sometimes, like when you watch a scary movie, fear can even be fun. In today's session, recorded in front of an audience at World Cafe Live in Philly, Bart T. Strange joins me to talk about his new album, Horror. An album that sees him facing fears, dissecting them, and being shaped by them. He also talks about how he had to conquer fear to make the album, about working with super producer Jack Antonoff, about how his survival instinct helped him choose the city he lives in, and about navigating the indie rock sphere as a Black musician. Our session begins with a live performance of a song from Horror. This is Bart T. Strange with Sober, live for the World Cafe.
So when you know, when you know it's right, when things come, you hold.
I'm Rena Duris. Barty Strange is my guest today on World Cafe. Barty Strange performing music from his new album Horror, a song called Sober. Bartiz, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm so happy to have you. The concept for this new album came to you before you released your last album, and it actually came to you, I think, 2020, 2021, and you were working on Farm to Table at the time. This came up in your mind. First of all, how did you know that these songs that you're performing today and that made it onto this album were for something different, and you had two distinct, separate projects on your hand?
I mean, at the time, I was just trying to get songs recorded. Like, I was like, oh, I've got some downtime, and I want to try to just get some stuff, like, knocked out. And I quickly realized that, like, I had one record that was, like, very flowy and felt easy to make. And then I had these other songs that I was like, this is, like, a whole mess of ideas that I really like, but I'm a little afraid to touch right now.
Why were you afraid?
Well, the subject matter was stuff that I didn't really want to do publicly. And also, production-wise, I didn't know how to do what I was hearing. And I was like, well, I want to wait a couple of years before I try this.
Yeah. The first song that you wrote for the album was Too Much, which is the opener for the record as well. I want to play a little bit of it, but first, could you tell us why Too Much is a good introduction to horror?
Yeah, it was my introduction to horror. And so I felt like it would be cool if the first song that everyone heard was the first song I heard, which kind of opened the door to, like, all these other sounds.
Let's hear some of Too Much. This is Barty Strange. That's a bit of Too Much, the opening track of Barty Strange's new album, Horror. So that's one of several songs on the album co-produced by Jack Antonoff. What was your chemistry like with Jack in the studio?
It was cool. Of course, like, you know, he's kind of like a juggernaut kind of person. But in person, like, when you meet him, he's kind of like a plumber. Like, he's just like a blue-collar worker kind of studio guy. Like, he'll do anything in a studio. He's like, who's getting the coffee? I'll get the coffee. Like, oh, we're gonna record drums, well, you play the drums, or I'll play the drums, or we'll have someone else do it. Like, he doesn't care how it gets done. He just knows how it should be done. And I felt like he and I have, like, a common brain in terms of, like, working all the time. Like, and when I realized that that's what he does, like, he just goes to the studio every day, I was like, oh, you're one of those. I get that. And so we were able to connect, and he's just so generous and good. Like, it was just like a great collab.
I'm talking to Barty Strange today on World Cafe. So you've had this busy couple of years, not only, you know, touring Farm to Table, but producing for other people, playing for Bleachers, producing for Lucy Dacus, a couple of the songs on her upcoming new album. You worked with Cadence Weapon, who I love, a friend of mine. How did all of these experiences that you had since you started working on horror years and years ago, all of these experiences in the studio, how did they help shape the sound of this record? And was there anything you were really excited to try when you got in to make this one?
Yeah. Okay. So, like I said, when I first started working on horror, I didn't know how to make everything I was hearing. And I was like, I think I need reps. Like, I was like, I need reps. I need, like, to produce records so I can know how to do this stuff I'm hearing. So I'm like, I worked on the Casey Hill record, and then I worked with Cadence, and then, like, a bunch of other artists, like artists in Baltimore, a couple artists here in Philly. You know, it was like just kind of hitting everything I could touch. And by the end of it, I had got to try out all these things on just different records. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was sick because I didn't want to try it on my record first.
You know? And when you came back, you felt like you knew how to do the things you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I had a great, you know, overseer in terms of Jack, you know, because it's like I would try some stuff and he'd be like, yes, but this. And I'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, so it was awesome. I learned so much, like, through that the last couple of years, like, really big deal.
It must be just an amazing feeling to be able to translate what you want and what you are feeling in your, when you're thinking about a song into reality. I feel like that is such an interesting idea to me as someone who doesn't make music myself, but I might think, oh, this would be cool, but I would have no idea how to make that real.
It's like cooking. It's like, I'm going to make handmade pasta and like do like a, you know, basil gnocchi, blah, blah, blah. And you do it and you're like, that's a little different than I thought, but it's pretty much what I wanted. And that's how it records are.
Let me quickly reintroduce you. I'm talking to Barty Strange on World Cafe. His new album called Horror. You're going to play some more for us now. And this is one that you produced on your own called Baltimore. There's a line in this song that I really love. You say, I'm thinking about the lives that I don't have. And I know that this album, you sing a lot about fear. What is the fear that you're exploring in Baltimore?
I think probably because of how I grew up, but I always am thinking about where's like a just a safe, affordable place you can raise. Like you can be just a black person, you know, diverse, affordable art community. You know, it's like the more things you ask for, the fewer and fewer and fewer the options there are. And it's me just kind of cycling through the options and not knowing where to go. And I think that's kind of like a fear of mine is like being in the wrong place too long or putting myself in a situation where I can't like flourish. And, you know, I've done that in the past, but I felt like I found my place, which is the title of the song, yeah. Baltimore.
You know. And before I ask you why Baltimore was the right place, I know Philadelphia gets a little shout out in this song, and we tape World Cafe in Philly. So for the audience who's here right now, could you tell us what were the things that made you consider living in Philly?
Oh, I love Philly, first off. I love the people, very diverse city, great food. I have so many friends that live here, like Will Yip and freaking Connor, my tour manager, and like Mannequin Pussy, like Missy and all that. Like, you know, the Soul Glow people. I know all these people that live here and that I've played with for years. I used to freaking open for Soul Glow at the pharmacy and stuff, like, you know, so it's like, I love this city, and it was one of the cities that I really, really thought about living in. And also, when Will Yip started building that new studio, he was like, you got a room? And I was like, ugh! You know, but then I was like, you know, my parents moved to Maryland, and I was like, well, let me try this, and I like it where I'm
at. Yeah. Could you tell us a little more about that? Why is Baltimore the right place for you?
Baltimore is like life on easy mode, you know? It's like so affordable, so many black people, so many artists. The Peabody Conservatory is right down the street. If I need like a freak, like a weird string arrangement or like some freak percussion weirdo, like.
I like the idea of you going in there and being like, hey, I need a freak percussion weirdo.
I don't have a problem doing that because whatever, you know, I can have a studio there, you know, like my rent's really cheap. It's international, like international airport, 15 minutes from my house. You know, it's like, I'm really cruising.
When you put it all in a list like that, it does sound pretty ideal.
And the people are sick. And like, I started off in DC, so it feels good just to be like in the vicinity of like where I've had my musical kind of experiences, like my key ones, you know? So I like saying I'm making music from there, you know? Yeah.
All right. Live for the World Cafe, Barty Strange with Baltimore.
summers are tough. New York City just costs too much. I'm thinking about the lives I've known. Thinking about the lives I don't have. Thinking about the lives I don't have. I envision a house with cobblestone. A nook to read with bookshelves built inside the buried home. Backyard blue jays, so my girl's not alone. And a lake that freezes over when the winter months come.
Performing in front of a live World Cafe audience, that was Bartiz Strange with Baltimore. Bartiz returns with another live song after these quick words here on World Cafe.
Welcome back to an encore edition of World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. Happy Halloween. We'll get back into our conversation with Bartiz Strange and our own Raina Duris in just a moment. But first, another live performance from his album Horror. Here is Backseat Banton.
Me.
Performing in front of a live World Cafe audience, Vartese Strange with Backseat Banton. That's a song from his new album, Horror. I'm Raina Duris, talking to Vartese about that album today. Could you tell us what the word Banton means?
Yeah, it's like a word for a storyteller. Like, there's a rapper named Buju Banton. That's kind of where I first heard about it, but my Jamaican friends would use it. It's just a word for, like, someone that tells stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll notice I'm picking out a lot of lyrics today. I'm going to keep doing it. But there's one in that song. Being scared has made me bigger now, bigger than I was. The darkest side of waking up is seeing who I've become. And you are singing about fear. The album is called Horror. But in this song, it doesn't sound like it's necessarily about being afraid. It sounds like you have a more complicated relationship with fear. Maybe it's about overcoming it. Could you talk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that phrase is kind of about, like, how I feel like in my own life, I was kind of scared of everything. Like, I'm like a hyper avoidant, pretty anxious, non-confrontational person. And all three of those create like a very weird vibe in my mind sometimes. But there's times when I'm able to channel all that into something. And it's like all that fear, I can use it to make myself bigger, and I can make myself like do things that are bigger than who I see myself as. And that's kind of what that phrase is about. And the darkest side of waking up is seeing what I've become. Is it's like every day you wake up and you still have these fears, like, and they've propelled you to a place, whether that's in relationships or with friends or with your job or whatever. And you know in your heart, like, I didn't get all these things just because of how good I am at it. I got these things because I was running from something else, you know, and that made me run faster than other people. So it's like you're accepting like the good and the bad and the ugly of yourself and choosing to love all of it. And that's kind of what that phrase is about.
So there can be almost benefits to fear.
Yeah.
You said that you've always been afraid, ever since you were little.
Yeah.
You were scared then. I mean, you got into horror movies when you were pretty young. What drew you to those?
Well, this is like child brain, but I thought that, like, okay, I'm always going to be scared, so I just need to get good at being scared. So I'm going to watch horror movies, and that will teach me how to at least be able to function when I'm scared. And then I fell in love with horror movies, and it's like my favorite medium.
What was the first horror movie you remember watching?
Probably Candyman with my dad. My dad likes Candyman. And then the second one I watched isn't really a horror movie, but it's the movie Spawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, this is a complicated bad guy. I like him.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you this because, you know, when I was a kid, there was a point where my parents were like, you can't watch E.T., you get too scared, because I found E.T. terrifying. Was there a movie when you were young that was not supposed to be a scary movie that you were afraid of?
Dude, Roots.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
My parents are like Southern Black people, and we always lived in like white areas, and they were just like, you need to know how scary life is, you know? So they would make us watch like all the Ku Klux Klan documentaries, all the Roots stuff. And I was just like, oh my God, white people are so scary. Like that was my, you know, when I was like a 6 year old, you know?
A fair reaction to that. Yeah. I mean, using horror or fear is like a training mechanism sort of is it interesting, but it makes sense. It kind of makes sense. It's such a primal feeling you won't forget.
Yeah. And I feel like people have a weird relationship with fear. It's like no one wants it, but it's important. Like it's like sadness or malaise or grief. It's like these things you have to feel other things and to appreciate them more. And so I think over the years, like my relationship with fear is just like, you know, I walk into it. Like I know it very well.
Are there any things that you appreciate about that genre that maybe you didn't fully get when you were a kid?
Yeah. I think understanding what scares people is like a really interesting thing. And I think I fell in love with horror because like I've always wanted to travel and see the world. But when I realized I could watch like French horror and horror from Japan and Taiwan and all these countries, I started to understand them. I was like, oh, culturally, you're different than us. Like, we fear other things. And that was just fascinating to me, you know? And I also feel like in the horror medium, art is just like always being explored. Like, there's all these new formulas to break and rebuild and try new things. Whereas in like drama and thrillers, there's such a set mechanism for telling a story. And horror, it's like you can just go everywhere. And it's fun that way.
I mean, this feels like the natural place to go. Do you see parallels with that, with your own music?
Yes. I mean, I set my record up as a horror movie. Like, not like a Michael Myers horror movie, but more like a Ari Aster horror movie, like Hereditary or Midsommar, where you feel like everything's okay, but it's not okay. Like, there's things that are nostalgic and referential, but if you look a little deeper, things are upside down. Mm. And that's kind of what the record is, yeah.
Like there's an uneasiness even when things seem like they're fine.
Yes.
Maybe they're not.
Yeah.
I'm speaking with Bartiz Strange. His new album is called Horror. This is World Cafe. The last song that you're going to play for us also deals with fear, like many of the songs on the album, but in a very personal way. And I guess first I want to ask you, how autobiographical is this song, 17?
Oh, extremely. And it's a funny song. You know, it's a song about times where I feel like I'm a kid and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you sing the line, the first time that I felt impending doom was realizing I'm too black for the room. Was that line inspired by a specific event or was it sort of a collection of experiences?
It was inspired by first grade, 10th grade, college, my first job, my third job, my current job, like, yeah, my life, kind of, you know, I've ended up in those places. And that's kind of the point of the song is it's not about being 17. It's just like when I was 17, that was the first time I thought everything was going to change. And then I just realized I was like, oh, nothing's changing. Like I keep coming back to this room, like having the same experience over and over. And you come to find out that's just life. Like you have these cyclical challenges that you face over and over until you get past, you know? And so yeah, that song is about just like all these moments as I get older where I'm like, I still don't know what I'm doing or what to do next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, when I heard that, I think about when you're operating largely like in an indie rock space, there's a lot of white artists, you're performing for a lot of white audiences. And I would imagine that feeling, does it still come up for you when you're playing? How does it feel to sing that line?
It's funny.
Yeah.
Because it's like people ask me, they're like, what's it like, you know, when like I have friends that are rappers, you know, and that make beats and DJs and stuff, and they're like, yeah, what's it like, like, you know, most of your fans are white. And I'm like, well, a lot of them aren't, which is really cool. But you know, I feel like I make stuff for everybody, and like I feel like a lot of the stuff I'm referencing is like nostalgic to a lot of different people, and I don't really care what my fans look like that much. I just am excited that they're into what I'm doing and are going to share it with people. Like, you know, we just played a show at 9:30 Club last night, and I, you know, I don't look out and think, dang, a lot of white people here. You know, I'm like, I sold 900 tickets. This is crazy. I remember when I couldn't sell 15 tickets. That was not long ago, you know? So it's like, that's like the coolest thing in the world. And like, I'm very grateful for my audience and my fans, and I would not trade them.
It's been so fun watching you become more and more successful over the last few albums. Thank you for being here. Can you play 17 for us? And before you play it, maybe, is there anything else you want to say about it before we hear it?
No, I don't know.
All right. Let the song speak for itself.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It is a good song. It's 17, performed live by Barty Strange on World Cafe.
First time that I felt impending doom was realizing I'm too black for the room. I was pushing it down just for you. You'll never see me like I see you. Why every dream I have just can't come true. So you're talking me down. So used to hearing that from you. See, I'm home. 17, mama, push the sherry through the brain, kinda. I'm sweating through the seats, darling. It's kinda hard when you don't see quite where you're going. Staring through the ceiling, starting to think that I don't need friends. You.
Yeah.
is Graham Richmond on the keys. Dan Peterman on the bass guitar. He normally plays electric guitar. Today, he just had to do this because the bass guitarist couldn't make it. And then TK Johnson on the drums. Thanks again for having us. It means a lot. Yeah.
Thank you again to Bartiz Strange. His new album is called Horror. It's out now. I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Welcome back. It's World Cafe. Appreciate Bartiz Strange stopping by. If you missed any of the session, you can find it at worldcafe.org. With Halloween being upon us, we wanted to do something a little bit different. We wanted to focus on the wails, the screams, and the oohs. And they don't necessarily have to be scary songs. We're talking about some incredible vocal performances, and no better place to start than Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine. Everybody's Scream is on World Cafe. Oohs, wails, and screams. That's the theme today for Halloween on World Cafe, and a pretty good scream and wail from Robert Plant, Led Zeppelin Immigrant Song off of Zep 3. Everybody's Scream from Florence and the Machine. Yeah, not necessarily scary songs, just songs that feature oohs and wails and screams. I got really into this. David Byrne does a much better job on this Psycho Killer.
Run, run, run.
Cramps. I was a teenage werewolf. Putting the wraps on this hour of the cafe, we've got a mixtape filled with great songs featuring brilliant screams, wails, and oohs. You can find it at worldcafe.org. Thanks to our affiliates nationwide who make this show possible, a show we produce from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Kaleo. This has been World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. And by the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org. Debuting on October 16th, KEXE brings you a brand new podcast, Season Watch, exploring the seasonal wonders of life in northern Minnesota. Voices like Charlie Mitchell, John Latimer, and our listeners. Find it on most podcast platforms. Season Watch is a podcast for those who are curious about the changes.